This is Warbird Radio.
Hi, Matt Jolly here from WarbirdRadio.com, here to tell you about our new on-demand programming. Listen, we know your life's busy and you want to listen to your favorite shows when you have the time, not when they're being broadcast. Well, thanks to our new on-demand format, you can do just that. Just click on the on-demand button on the right side of WarbirdRadio.com and follow the simple instructions for setting up your favorite listening device. If you prefer to listen directly from WarbirdRadio.com, well, just click the Play Now button at the bottom of the show story. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy our new on-demand programming.
Hi, everybody. Join me, Nick Deso, Smithsonian Curator, for Preserving Our Past, a lively look at air and space museums across the country. WarbirdRadio.com proudly presents our newest on-demand broadcast, Preserving Our Past, where museum experts share their thoughts and experiences for future generations of air and space museum lovers.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
We've got your six. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in.
Take off.
Hello and welcome to the next installment of the Wix Warbird Show here on WarburgRadio.com. This is show number 89. Believe it or not, I've been on the show air here for probably going on 3 years now. I'm your host, Zane Adams, coming to you from the great state of Texas. With all the latest information on the Warbird world, as seen on the Warbird Information Exchange forum. That forum can be found at warbirdinformationexchange.org. That forum's probably the best place online for the Warbird news and information. There's a lot of great posters in there, a lot of up-to-date information, some hot stuff that happens every day in the Warbird world. So check it out and join up and see what's going on in the Warbird world. Get the latest news, the first is there. But thanks for tuning in today, and we've got special deals here on warbirdradio.com. Don't forget to click the deals button on the homepage there on the top of the bar, and it's good stuff from the Wright Brothers catalog, Aero Cinema, and the 509th Remembered still on there. That Wright Brothers catalog has all kinds of interesting things for the aviation-minded, so stop in there, make sure you take a look, and support our sponsors here on warbirdradio.com. Tonight, we've got a little special interview with one of the guys from the Collins Foundation. You can always tell that spring is on the way. I know some of you folks up north, and even here in Texas, it's still January and still a bit chilly, but spring is coming, and one way you can really feel that is when the Collings Foundation starts their annual tour, their Wings of Freedom tour, and that tour kicked off this week down in Florida, and one of the guys on the tour, and get out and see him this year for sure. He'll be there off and on, more on than off probably, but is our buddy from the Wix Forum and here on Warbird Radio, Jim Harley. And Jim and I had a little conversation here the other night, and talk a little bit about the tour, some of the things expected, some of the news, and a little bit of information on Jim, if you don't know Jim Harley. He's a great friend of Warbirds and a great friend of Warbird Radio. So here's a little bit of our conversation.
All right. Well, Jim Harley, how are you this evening? You're out there in Florida flying with the Collings Foundation Wings of Freedom Tour.
Yeah, we're in the fifth day of the Florida tour, and we just arrived in Sarasota today. We're on our third stop of the year. We started in Sebring Friday and went to Zephyr Hills, and here we are in Sarasota.
And like we were saying, you guys got a pretty long schedule. Are you starting a little early this year, or is it normally the end of January?
It's mid-January. We start our ground schools generally around the middle of January, and then we start right away, right out of ground school. And we go about 3 weeks. We do about 20 cities in Florida. We take about a 10-day break, and then we do the national tour, which runs till November.
Okay. Well, so how are crowds so far?
We've done about 12 rides so far, and it's been steady. We did the Light Sport Convention in Sebring, which isn't really our target market, and we didn't really know what to expect, but it was okay. It was moderate. The weather was cold, but we got to Zephyr Hills, and we had probably 100 people waiting for us. And Sarasota today, we had maybe 200 people waiting for us. So it's starting strong. We're really pumped.
Well, cool. I mean, it'll get ever better every day once people realize that, hey, it started again. Like, you know, I was a week behind. I thought you guys were starting next week. I hadn't paid that close attention. So, you know, of course, all I care about is you guys are coming through Texas in March. And, you know, I really look forward to that every year. So, you know.
Yeah, we'll be in Tyler and Dallas. And there's a couple other cities. There's a lot of TBDs on there yet. We don't know exactly where we're going yet. But, yeah, we're going to beat up Texas pretty good.
Good. Good deal. Good deal. But, I guess the airplanes are running well right out of winter maintenance here?
Yeah, right out of the box. We're doing well. No complaints. We've got everything running good. And, yeah, we don't expect any loss. American Aero does a great job for us. And of course, the Florida Tour is kind of a shakedown tour on the annual and just make sure everything's running right and we're close to home. And we'll drop them off for 10 more days. They'll go through them again, make sure everything's still buttoned up. And, yeah, then we head off on a great adventure around the country.
Yeah, yeah. So what exactly happens in winter maintenance? How far do you guys get into the airplanes?
Pretty far. It's amazing. You know, they have the airplanes for about 2 months, and they take them right down. I mean, all the big pieces come out. They get inspected. You know, they go through the airplane with mirrors. I mean, they really take them down to nuts and bolts and get them back together for us. The Mustang got heads and banks this winter. Had some gear servicing done, and B-24 had the main gear more or less overhauled. New actuators put in. You know, nose wheel got some good treatment, and the B-17 always, you know, gets the ADs complied with and all the fun stuff that come with that. And
sure. You got what, prop ADs and wing attach ADs and et cetera, et cetera.
All that stuff gets addressed, and we're off and running. I mean, like I said, American Aero is, you know, one of the best shops in the country, and they wait for us. They anticipate us coming. They know we're coming. They have all the space set aside. And as soon as we hit the ground, the engines are still hot. They're doing the compression checks right away, and they're just off and running. So,
yeah, they do a good job down there. Speaking of ADs, is there airworthiness directives for the B-24? Is there some of that out there? I mean, since there's not that much of a B-24, you know, database for the FAA.
No, not really. There's nothing major with the airplane. Of course, on the PB4 wise, I had the spar issue. You know, we got to look at our spars, but you know, nothing really critical about that. That's not normal. That's not carried out in any inspection that we do. So,
right.
And you know, they know the parameters they were operating under. So, you know, it's pretty much a known issue. So. No, it's
sure.
B-24 is pretty solid. So,
you guys have been doing this long enough. I guess you've got your own ADs, own things you need to look at internally. Even if you don't call them an AD note, they're things you guys know. You know, like your wheels. I guess there's what bushings in the landing gear, and of course you've got all your props, your governors, and all that stuff. You got to take a look at to make sure you're good to go.
Yeah, I mean it's just all included in the annual maintenance, and right out of the B-24 maintenance manual is what we use as a guideline, and that covers everything. It's pretty thorough. I mean, none of us are going to get into an airplane or, you know, fly passengers around in that we don't trust or know what's going on. And these airplanes we're in our 24th season, and we generally fly every day. And these airplanes, we know them inside and out. And we don't skimp in any way. In any way, I mean,
sure.
These airplanes are probably
sure.
The best maintained airplanes on the circuit. So.
Oh yeah. Well, and you fly them as much, and everybody knows, or at least aviation people know that a good airplane's a flying airplane. You know, and vice versa. That if the worst thing you can do to an airplane is let it sit on the ground too long, and so you know they're extradited every day. You can keep tabs on things a whole lot easier, I imagine. So
yeah, we don't collect any dust, that's for sure. They're always doing something.
right. So, and how's Betty Jane? I guess I saw on American Aero's Facebook page there that I guess they pulled the heads and did an upper or lower or whatever GI for the Merlin. And...
yeah, we did a top end on it. We got new heads and banks. We got a new prop. The gear got some servicing done, and yeah, she's running great. I mean, they gave it a good once over with the polish job, and of course that only lasts a little bit when you fly. fly yeah. every day, but
it's
ship shape. It's probably one of the nicest Mustangs out there running. You know, we put almost 500 hours on it last year, and just does an incredible amount of flying, and people enjoy it so much. It's just one of those airplanes that's on everybody's bucket list. So.
Oh yeah, well, it's down there in my bucket list somewhere. You know, the P-51's got a soft spot in my heart. You know, my dad built P-51s at North American in Dallas, and it just you know, it's one of those airplanes. You know, we couldn't go to an air show when we had to stop by the P-51, and he'd point at it and say, right there, you know, up in the wheel well, you know, where that spar, you can see it behind the wheel wells there. You know, he said, those are my rivets. You know, that's I put those in, you know, that's what I did every day for months on end, you know.
Man.
So, you know, he always had a soft spot. I've got a photograph right here over my desk of him standing next to a factory new one in 45 there at the North American plant with his leather jacket. He never was a flyer, a pilot, but, you know, he really had a soft spot for that airplane. And, you know, the Mustang, it earns its keep out there on the road, and you guys fly it just about every stop with some passengers.
It averages, you know, maybe 2-3 rides a stop. You know, and I say rides, it's flight instruction, it's hands-on. I mean, I did a lot of flying last year in that airplane, and it's full-on. As soon as the gear's coming up, customer's on the stick, and it's go time. And like you said, like you, it touched a lot of people's lives. I mean, it's the airplane everybody wants to fly. I mean, everybody raves about the Spitfire and the Corsair and the Hellcat. But, man, the Mustang just has that mystique about it that everybody wants to fly it. And,
it's an amazing
piece of machinery.
Yeah, and it's I mean, I'm biased, but it's the best-looking airplane in the air. Any air, any day, I think. So, you know.
Absolutely. There's a lot of people in that camp, trust me.
Yeah, I know the Spitfire guys will, you know, grumble at us, but, you know, because it is a pretty airplane, but Mustang's just, it's an American hot rod, you know, so.
It is. It's Art Deco, and it's a magic carpet with machine guns. You know, the best way I can describe it. It's just an amazing airplane.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I talked to your buddy, our buddy, our mutual friend, Ryan Keough. He came and stayed with me a night on his sojourn across the country the other day, and he really enjoyed his ride. I guess you took him up out of Albuquerque last year.
I got to say about Keough, I've given a lot of Mustang flights now, and he's the only guy I've ever heard from the backseat screaming over the engine. He was hooting and hollering. I thought he was a Texan.
I brought it up in conversation over a cold brew here at the house, and he just, this grin, this light came across him that he didn't have the rest of the time. You know, he said it was just an amazing experience, and you know, that it was, like you said, it's all there. It's all, even from the back seat, you know, the view was obstructed by some knucklehead, but other than that, he really had a great time. So,
you know, I tell you, we formed up on the B-24 first, then we jumped the Mustang, and or jumped the B-17, and that was the first time we'd seen the airplanes in formation, and we split off, and we headed for Scottsdale, and we got about probably 30 minutes out of Scottsdale. I said, you ready? And he goes, oh, yeah, let's go. And it was go time. It was, we did full on. We did aileron rolls, 4-point rolls, 8-point rolls, and then he did them, and I tell you, he just had the best time. That's probably one of in my top 10 of Mustang flights. Just because it was Keough. I mean, it's Ryan. It's, you know, Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
He worked for the foundation
the top
for years.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, that was a good time.
Well, and you too, listeners out there, can have this experience. Just see the foundation at one of their stops. Schedule's up there at collingsfoundation.org, and find a stop, go out and see the Warbirds, and say hi to Jim, and you know, go rub on the Mustang a little bit until it gets into your pocketbook, I guess. So,
you know, everybody knows what it is. It sells itself. It just takes a little bit of pushing to get them over the edge, and you know, there's just something about it. I mean, every time I push a throttle up, I smile. It's just, I don't know what it is. You know, I fly the B-24 for hours, fly the P-17 for hours, and boy, just getting a Mustang is just like, oh man, here we go.
Well, it's like driving a bus or driving a Indy car, I guess, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and let's not neglect the buses. The 909, you fly her quite a bit as well.
Yeah, that's Mac's airplane. You know, he lets me fly it once in a while.
He's got to let somebody fly it every once in a while, doesn't he?
Yeah, you know, he relinquishes it and lets me do a couple landings a year in it. But, yeah, I've been kind of married to the B-24 for the last 3 or 4 years, and it's a great airplane. They're both great airplanes. I mean, the rivalry will never go away. So, which one's better, but. Yeah, the B-24 is a great airplane. They're all great airplanes, but
sure.
It's
I ride last year, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate the opportunity to ride in the B-24 last year. It's my first B-24 ride, and that's another one of the airplanes that my dad's, you know, North American built them on contract, and my dad worked on them as well, and my uncle flew B-24s, and just to be in the airplane was just a thrill and a lifetime achievement or a lifetime something. I don't have the word for it, but, you know, and I brought my son along, and he's, you know, 21, and the age that these kids were, you know, flying these things in combat, which is a really a mind-boggling thing. But, you know, when I started in the nose, he started in the tail, and we met in between there sometime during a ride, and he looked at me, and he says, "How come we don't always fly this way?"
That's great. And that's, you know what, the next generation stuff, too. They're the next ones in line for that. And you've got to keep that interest in there. It's neat your dad had ties to that, and it's getting passed on.
Yeah.
So that's what we like to see.
Yeah. Well, and you've got a young guy on the tour with you, that young fella, Wiley? What's his?
Whitney.
Whitney, that's it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Whitney.
He's
kind of
Wiley. Young guy. Yeah, I can imagine. But he seems to really enjoy himself on the airplanes.
Whitney's a genius. He's actually been working on the airplanes almost. He's 26 now, and he's been working on the airplanes over 10 years. I mean, he's in love with these airplanes. He's enamored with the history and the airplanes. He just loves. He's a great pilot too. He's a multi-commercial instrument pilot, A&P. He can do it all. Whitney's kind of our guru of everything. And we've actually hired a new mechanic this year, and he's even younger. He's down there. He's like 20. And same thing. He's just enamored with the airplane. He's right out of AMP school. This is what he wanted to do. And it's great. It's encouraging to see these young guys coming up that want to do this stuff. You know, guys like me or Mac are getting up there in years, and that's hard to believe. But, you know.
You're a bit younger than Mac, and then that Goolsby fella, he's a little older than the rivets, I think, but
yeah, 41, you know, and World War II guy. I'm an old man, you know. I'm grandpa, but you know.
Oh
Matt,
yeah, well.
But you know, Goolsby's great. Goolsby passed on the B-24 to me. He taught me how to fly the airplane, just like Mac taught me how to fly the 17. So we're just passing it on. It's this next generation. You know, I passed it on to Whitney. I mean. You know, Whitney, once he builds up his time, he'll be have no problem getting a type rating in the airplane. And, you know, if he had the time, I'd send him right now. I mean, that's just how good he is. And
sure.
And plus, he can work on it, which, you know, if they give me a wrench, they're desperate. So.
They give you a bottle of glue, maybe. You're okay.
Yeah. They send me in the FBO and say, "We'll call you when it's ready." But.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you can do some woodwork, right? I mean,
you've
haven't you? I mean, you know.
Yeah, you know, I sit in the FBO and play my guitar, so.
Yeah.
Call me when it's done.
That's okay. Need some entertainment. But can we talk a little bit about Jim Harley? I mean, where did you come from to get into this business? I mean, how long have you been flying, and, you know?
Well, I grew up around airplanes. My grandfather was a liaison pilot during World War II, and my other grandfather, he was in World War II as well, but he was a ground pounder. And oddly enough, they both had an interest in aviation, and my dad was a commercial pilot, and my grandfather that flew during the war had a Culver Dart and a Cessna 150, and I grew up with airplanes. It was something we did. and the history. I remember being in first, second grade, they had Aces of the Eighth. I forget the name of the audience, Jerry's Guts or something like that. But I remember checking this book out, like, monthly. I would just read it till I think I wore the book out. And that's all I thought about was just, you know, Mustang, B-17s. You know, my dad had contracts with the Air Force, and we'd go down to the museum five or six times a year, you know, as I was growing up. He would drop my mom and I off at the museum, and we'd just hang out. I just grew up with it. This was just a perfect extension of that. I mean, I didn't get my license until December of 2004, believe it or not.
Okay. See, I thought you were fairly recent in the Aero Club. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I'd been flying, you know, my grandfather and putting around, and I knew how to fly. It was just a matter of making it formal. And this, when this opportunity came along, as a matter of fact, it's been 10 years. 10 years ago, Ryan put an ad up on the Wix board, and nobody answered it, and I answered it, and within a couple of days, I literally had an airline ticket heading to Florida to start the tour, and
you were the ride coordinator guy, right?
I was a ride coordinator. I booked people, I scheduled the flights, and made sure all this circus ran, and I saw the opportunity. I thought, man, this is it. It doesn't get any better than this. I'm in. I need to buckle down and finish my ratings, and over about 2 years, I got my multi-commercial instrument done and started doing moves in the airplane. So I was flying right seat with Mac in the B-17, and when I could in the B-24, and then the B-25 came out. And that's when I really built my time up. I built a lot of time up in the B-25. It just blossomed. I mean, all the doors opened. And I look back on it now, and I still can't believe it. You know, I pinch myself every day I come out here and say, holy crap, I'm really doing this. And I had a commercial art business in the 90s after I got out of college. You know, I never planned on a career in aviation. I thought I'd just get a pilot's license and have fun and putt around. And that's all I really wanted to do, and that's what I kind of planned on. And this came along and just exploded, and I couldn't be happier. I mean, we're adding new airplanes, new Sky Raider, and the 262's coming out, and there's just possibilities are endless, and the foundation's been gracious enough to give us all that opportunity, not just me, but Whitney and even Mac. Mac's got over 4,000 hours in the B-17 now, which is pretty incredible.
I was wondering if anybody was keeping count. I mean,
yeah, we're keeping count. You know, Mac's probably the highest time pilot ever.
That's what I was fixing to ask. You think he's the highest time ever in the B-17? I would imagine he would be.
I haven't found anybody to dispute him. You know, Buddy Jordan was one of our pilots for a long time, and he flew for the guys that flew sprayers out of Dothan, and he had about 3,500 hours in him. And for a long time, there was nobody to argue the fact that Buddy wasn't the highest time pilot. So I guess in the end, it doesn't matter, but it's just kind of neat that experience is out there getting passed along.
Sure. Well, it matters in a way, like you said, the experience. I mean, who's, you know, what better guy to like you said, to teach the next guy to come along and with somebody with that much experience, you know.
Buddy, Buddy used to hold our ground school, you know, and he told the story of how the gear motor in the number two nacelle didn't stop turning. You know, there was a failure in the gear motor and it caught fire. And he said, you had a problem and the number two engine fell off. It left the airplane.
Holy crap.
They ended up landing in a field and they lost the airplane. But, you know, it's stuff like that you take notice of, obviously. Wow.
Yeah.
Pay attention. But,
right.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just funny how everything evolves. And, you know, here I am, podunk, nobody, flying these airplanes and just sharing with people and having a ball.
Okay, we're going to pause here for just a quick break, visit some of our commercial friends, and we'll be right back with the rest of our conversation with Jim Harley from the Collings Foundation. Be right back. Thanks.
This is Warbird Radio.
Hi, Matt Jolly here from WarbirdRadio.com, here to tell you about our new on-demand programming. Listen, we know your life's busy and you want to listen to your favorite shows when you have the time, not when they're being broadcast. Well, thanks to our new on-demand format, you can do just that. Just click on the on-demand button on the right side of WarbirdRadio.com and follow the simple instructions for setting up your favorite listening device. If you prefer to listen directly from WarbirdRadio.com, well, just click the Play Now button at the bottom of the show story. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy our new on-demand programming.
Hi, everybody. Join me, Nick Bezos, Smithsonian Curator, for Preserving Our Past, a lively look at air and space museums across the country. WarbirdRadio.com proudly presents our newest on-demand broadcast, Preserving Our Past, where museum experts share their thoughts and experiences for future generations of air and space museum lovers.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
We've got your six. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in.
Take off.
Okay, welcome back. This is Zane Adams with the Wix Warbird Show here on WarbirdRadio.com. Let's get right back into the rest of our conversation with the Collings Foundation's Jim Harley.
Well, and along the way, I mean, once you started flying the Mustang, you know, us Warbird nerds out there, you know, those people on Wix and such, you know, once you start flying a Mustang, I think you kind of you're elevating yourself. If I don't blow, you don't mind me blowing smoke, you know, you're one of those Warbird gods out there now, you know, and you and Chuck Gardner and Vlado and all those guys, you know, I mean, come on.
It's funny because Chuck and I went to work at Warbird Adventures. You know, I didn't have any T6 time, and Chuck took me under his wing, and, you know, Graham Mizey and Tom Richard, they took me into Warbird Adventures, and I worked there for almost 2 years.
And, yeah.
Built up 700 hours in T6s. I mean, that's a lot of time to sit in the backseat of a T6 and do loops and rolls, and
right.
Getting into Mustang was easy. I don't want to downplay it, but... Man, it's a wonderful airplane. Like I said, I pinch myself. I smile every time I push the throttle up, and I don't take it for granted.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I talked to Chuck, and he's the same way. He just giggles at himself. You know, every time he, like you said, he straps the thing on and cranks her up and goes. He just says he has a giggle and. You know, most of you Mustang guys are like that, and of Mustangs, you guys, how about that A36? Is it going to be out on the road any? I know it's not a two-seater, but
it'll be New England. It's not going to be a road airplane. It'll be on display. Unfortunately, it only has one seat, so flight experiences are out. But it'll be up in New England. It's got a fairly expensive air show circuit, I think, this season. So it'll be out and about and flying, we also acquired another Mustang, which will be coming out here pretty soon. It'll be a D model TF. There's no real certain plans for it yet, but somewhere down the line it might show up on tour. You never know.
Sure.
I'll leave it at that.
Have you flown the A36?
I have not yet.
Okay.
The Corsair and the A36 are on my bucket list, so we'll see what happens.
Okay.
I've read the book. Wow. If anybody from the Foundation listened, I've read the book. So.
nudge, nudge, yeah.
Yeah, but...
I just wonder how it's different than the Betty Jane there.
You know, Rob says that it's fast. It's a fast airplane, and the speed brakes come in handy when you're flying in and around airspace, so it gets exercised.
Yeah, there you go. Anybody, have you flown the Skywriter?
Yes.
Yeah, how's that?
The Skywriter's a monster. Like I said, I don't want to downplay the Mustang, but it makes it look like a Barbie car. First time you open the throttle in the Skywriter, you're going somewhere.
Not necessarily in a hurry, but you're going, right?
It's a hurry. Believe me, you're leaving. It's got hydraulic ailerons, the elevator's light, and it's got the big speed brakes, and oh my God, it's just an amazing airplane. It's just, it's fun to fly. It's easy to fly. It's docile. It's got a nice thick airfoil. It rolls like a champ. And I can't speak enough about the Skyraider. I can't wait till it makes it out on the road. You know, as soon as this moratorium ends, hopefully we can get an exemption letter for it and start giving flight experiences. But it's a going machine. It's pretty special.
Yeah, I can imagine. I had a friend of mine, his dad flew Skyraiders in the Coast Guard, but flew them in Vietnam. And he said they were off the coast of Vietnam skirting along one nasty afternoon with low clouds and they, you know, cruising right at wave top. And he hit a wave. The propeller hit the wave, you know. And he says it just kind of bogged down. He's flying along and it just went brrr. You know, that's the sound he made when he was telling me the story, you know, and he said it just, you know, he just nailed the throttle and it came on out and it flew, you know, he said he thought he was a goner, but he figured if he was in just about any other airplane, he might have been, but, you know, he loved the Skyraider and he's flying the 81, you know, but,
sure.
Yeah, it, everybody I've heard that had anything to do with the Skyraider just fell in love with it as well, so.
It's just, it's a beautiful flying machine. I mean, aside from its role in the war and what it did, it's just a beautiful flying machine. It's a pilot's airplane.
Yeah.
God, it's just. It's another one. You push a throttle and you go, oh my God, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Failure.
It's amazing.
Yeah, that's what Steve Swift. He was flying with Kavanaugh's, I guess, and he said the same thing. It's a beast. You know, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you're sitting in the cockpit and looking over. You're almost, I think you're actually higher in the cockpit than you are in the B-24 cockpit. And you're looking down on it going, this is a big airplane.
Yeah.
You unfold the wings and, yeah, it's go time. It's
10 feet off the ground already, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like fun. So is the 262 going to be out and about? I know the exemption letter thing's still a problem, but...
It is. They're supposed to revisit that real soon. Hopefully that gets squared away. But the 262 will be out. It'll meet us in Dallas. It's going to do all the Texas stops. Yeah, finally. I mean, after all these years of we don't know. Sanders still has it.
Right.
It's finally done. It's in Houston right now. We're doing some pilot training in it, but it'll be in Dallas, and it's going to go to Scottsdale with us right now. And I think Ken Miles at the foundation was trying to get it into Thunder Over Michigan. Even though it's a Vietnam thing, they requested it be there.
Yeah, that'd be
but,
cool.
You know, unless other obligations down
wait.
The road. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it fly because, I mean, I saw those in the beginning at Tischler's place over here in Fort Worth, you know, back, what was that, 15, 20 years ago now?
Yeah.
And, you know, it'd be exciting to see it. So, but
I tell you, after all the buildup that we've had with this airplane, you know, finally getting it out on the road is a big deal, and we're excited. You know, we want to see it work. We want to see the program work. We got a really good guy flying it right now that's doing our training in it, and I think once this moratorium subsides, it'll be a hot ticket out here. It's a beautiful machine. Sanders, I can't speak enough about Sanders and the work they did on the airplane. It's phenomenal. And it's just a turnkey airplane now, basically.
Real good. Yeah, like a jet should be, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, switch on. Yeah, there you go.
Here we go.
Let's talk about the moratorium a little bit. I know Rob Collings and a lot of the guys, the Warbird operators, were in the country, were out. Up in Washington, D.C., and haranguing our elected officials over this whole deal and haranguing the FAA over it. And, you know, when is there any kind of timeline? I know we're talking about the government here, but is there any kind of timeline that they're looking at making a decision? And does anybody have a feel for, you know, how that's going to fall?
Unfortunately, no. There's no real timeline. They said they'd revisit it, and... soon. They didn't give us a specific date, but they said soon. The jets are uncharted territory for them. And, you know, the piston-powered airplane has parameters that you can see working in civilian hands and operating in the environment that we operate in. The jets, on the other hand, are a whole new story. and they're not quite sure what to do with them. And it's not just us, the F-4, the A-4, the 262, but they're looking at the L-39s, the MiG-21s, other jets that other people operate as well. And really, they don't know what to do with them as far as an exemption goes. And it's really hard to speak for what's going on because nobody really knows. So
right.
We're all working together on this. And that's probably the best way to put it, is we're just all trying to understand and make it work. And
sure.
Until the FAA is happy, they're not going to put anything in place that puts them out on the line. So
yeah,
once everybody's happy, I think, you know, it'll fall into place, just like the piston engine airplanes did, you know, 30 years ago when this all started.
Right.
So it's just an unknown, and they're just afraid to put anything in writing yet. And I think once everything settles and everybody understands what's going on, it'll come through.
Yeah. Well, I was around with the Chucky crew when all that kind of started as well. And, you know, whether it was, is this legal or not? What's the exemption look like? And, you know, there was a lot of around and around to go on that, you know, and it finally came through. And a lot of operators really, I mean, like you guys, really depend on this to keep the airplanes operational and to be able to keep them flying. And it's sad to say, but it's the only way you can do it with the expenses as they are this, you know, now with fuel and everything else. But, you know, and I know the a little editorial opinion here, but it seems like the government, our folks in Washington, are scared to death of just about everything.
Yeah.
You know, scared of being blamed by, you know, for anything and everything, whether it's, you know, healthcare or guns or airplanes or God, everything. You
yeah.
Know, it's just like
paranoia.
There's
terrible.
There's a bunch of ninnies in Washington. They need to pull their head out, but that's my personal opinion.
Yeah, I won't get into politics here, but
but you know what I mean. And who better to do it than guys like you guys that have this track record of safely flying airplanes around,
right?
You know, and even the incident that happened last year with the Liberty Bell that showed that, you know, basically the airplanes, I mean, it's a safe environment, these airplanes. When done well, when flown by proper people and when proper parameters, it goes well and it's safe. And
everybody's okay. You know, that could have ended, that incident could have ended it for everybody, and everybody's aware of that.
Yeah. You guys had your own back in the 90s problem with the 909, but
right.
And you guys changed some things and reacted to that to make a safer, you know, tour out of the whole deal.
And that was before the exemption lever even existed, and we changed
right.
things. And, you know, Bob Collins really put forth the exemption. The exemption letter was written for us.
Right.
And everybody's kind of followed in our path and complied with it. And that's why this whole warbird industry is successful, the RIDE program, the B-17 operators, and that's why it runs so smoothly. I mean, everybody's complied with it, and that's what we have to count on is everybody complying, because one accident can ruin it for everybody, and nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants anybody to get hurt.
Sure.
And, you know, it's aviation, and there's no margin for error. So
right.
Everybody that flies the airplane has to be confident. There's no gray area. I mean, you either can or you can't. And,
right.
That's what makes it critical, and you know, like I said, everybody's complying with it. So,
and aviation's to me, I think aviation seems to be, as a whole, it's a whole lot safer than it was 30 years ago. You know, just look at the commercial airlines and their track record in the past, 10, 15 years. You know, that is just mind-boggling that you can put that many people in the air.
No accidents. Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
right. You know, nothing in the last 10 years, really, you know, on a jet anyway. I mean, there's been some small things here and there, which happens.
Sure.
But, yeah, a major carrier and everything else, it just hasn't happened. And you guys have been safe for, like you said, 21 years now. You guys have been doing this, mm-hmm. and it works. And I that's one thing I want people to know, that I talk to people, and they say, you flew in a 70-year-old airplane? You know, you flew in a 60-year-old airplane. What do you mean? You know, and I'm just like, you know, that's the safest thing you can do. You know, there's a lot of Cessnas out there I think aren't built as well as a B-17,
oh,
you know. I've seen school airplanes that scared me to death, so, you know.
I took my check ride in 1967 150, so, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
And it's still fun. So, yeah. Airplanes are safe. I mean, as long as they're maintained, there's nothing that diminishes their airworthiness.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And you guys, we'll wrap up here shortly, but I know you've got a little Piper Cub floating around in your world now.
I did. I've come to a point in life where it was time to make a move, and I bought a Cub. I got my first ride in a Cub, and I wanted a Cub, so I bought a Cub. And I love it. Now I've been flying the fuel through it as fast as I can.
Yeah. At 85 miles an hour, you're having a great time, right?
I'm in no hurry to go anywhere. I just get up and putt around and happy as a clam.
Cool.
So,
cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's a pretty little airplane. I've seen pictures of it here and there, and it's cool.
It is. I'm in love with it.
They are.
Just you know, totally
it teaches you your stick and rudder, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's just, I don't have a lot of time in light airplanes, believe it or not. I mean, you know, to get into a Cub and go mess around. It's been a challenge.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
Like you said, it keeps your toes alive and you know what your feet are for. And,
sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't trade it for the world. Yeah, it'll be around a while. So I bought a hangar.
Cool.
It's a keeper.
Well, good. Is it more fun than the self-powered beer cooler?
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said, is it more fun than the powered beer cooler?
Oh, absolutely. Not necessarily a total beer cooler, but we had a good time with that thing. They're $499 if you want to know. We have, you know, get a hold of me somehow. We'll hook you up with a portable cooler.
Yeah, I saw that on Facebook. Driving around with a ramp and a cooler. That's cool.
Yeah. You're
ready for NASCAR.
Miles an hour. Put a big number on it, we'll go.
Yeah,
go faster and left.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I look forward to seeing you stop here in Dallas. Really, like I said, that's always a highlight for the year. And I hope we can hook up while you're in the area. And, you know, it's always fun. The Museum of Flight over there at Dallas Love Field always does a great job. And you guys have big crowds over there. And I really look forward to seeing you again this year.
Yeah, we'll keep in touch. Maybe we'll get you up in the Mustang.
Well, don't tease me, bro. You know?
Don't worry. Don't worry.
All right. Well, any last words? I'll leave you the last word here to hawk the tour here, and we'll be done.
Yeah, just everybody out there, come out and say hi to us, and you know, take a tour and just support us. You know, we need all the help we can get, and we look forward to seeing everybody.
Well, cool. I appreciate it, Jim, and we will see you in 6 weeks or so.
Sounds good,
Zane. All right. Thanks for coming on tonight, and you be safe out there. Have a good time, and we'll see you later. Now, once again, I want to thank Jim for coming on to Warbird Radio with us tonight. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing these guys come to town. They always, every time the Collings Foundation comes through town, I make it a point to go to the airport and see the Warbirds fly. It's just a treat to see the B-17, the B-24, the P-51 on the tour in the air, and a great bunch of guys, you know. And there's a great bunch of volunteers as well, and that's a little something we didn't talk about with Jim, but look at the cities that are on their tour. Go to the collingsfoundation.org and look at their tour schedule. And if you see a city that's near you, near enough to you, that you might be able to go spend an afternoon or two helping out, or if you want to be in their advanced team a little bit, they can always use people on the ground. Go to the collingsfoundation.org, find Hunter Cheney's information on there, send him an email or give him a call, and tell him, hey, I'm in a town that your tour is coming to, and I want to help out. And Hunter will send you some information, some posters, maybe some flyers to put around town and advertise, maybe in the schools, at the airports, at the grocery stores, the community centers, the libraries. Get the word out that these guys are coming to town, and then go out and hit.
When these guys come to town, they like to have a little bit of a respite during the tour day while they're not flying.
It's always good, and to have volunteers to come out to scrub the prop domes or clean the windows or sweep out the airplanes. There's all kinds of work to do for the volunteers out there, and they really do appreciate it. You know, you get a free tour of the airplane, get to hang out with some great guys, and you know, you never know where it'll lead. It might just set a spark in you and you know, light the fire that puts you in the Warburg frame of mind. Go out and find some more airplanes in your neighborhood. And you never know what the Collings Foundation would do. You see what it did for Jim Harley. I know we all can't be P-24 pilots or P-51 pilots at the end of the day, but man, you can be involved and go out and meet some great people, see some of the visitors. The people that come out to see these airplanes are always fascinating. And it's a great bunch of guys on the tour, and men and women out there running this show, this traveling road show of Warbirds. And there's nothing like it in the United States that does it from January to November. And, you know, they fly the wings off these airplanes, and it's great to see. So get out there and volunteer, help out, and go say hi to Jim. He'd be glad to meet you. Couldn't ask for a nicer guy to be on the tour, so... Again, thanks for joining us here on the Wix Warbird Show on warbirdradio.com. Make sure you visit our sponsors there at the deals button on the homepage. And we look forward to talking to you next time around. This is Zane Adams, and I appreciate you being here. Thank you.